Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
You tried to cut that early today. Today on the couch, we have our good friends Darren and Peyton. Welcome back to the couch, guys.
Hey there. Double time in now.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah. We were the first ones, weren't we?
You were the very first guest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
in your other office. This is the new one.
That's really cool.
You guys are the official first guests of season two of Couch Chats, because doesn't that sound more fancy?
That sounds fancy.
That's funny. We should just repeat. Everybody, they were the first guests.
Just start them all over.
Well, it's important
because then you kind of see how people grew.
The progress,
exactly.
That's a good idea.
So, for our listeners who did not listen the first time, can you guys individually kind of give us a little brief biography of yourself, and then maybe like you guys working together and what you do as a business? And I'll start with you, Darren.
We're two crazy balloon guys that like to do drag and make balloon outfits. We just did a crazy balloon pride show for the unveiling of Ride Casey's Pride Casey Streetcar and Bus. We also do events all over the city, spreading our love of balloons to everyone. So it's just what we do.
Yeah. And I'm Peyton. I drug him into balloons because I've been doing them since I've been a teenager. I was started off as a juggling and magician, got into balloons, birthday parties, and now we do all the big fancy stuff.
Can you believe like what you guys
and all
do?
That jazz.
Oh my gosh!
And we never sleep.
That's true.
Yeah,
you guys must be your own business owners.
It's weird because like we are, but it's like we don't treat it like it is. It's just kind of like. We accidentally don't realize we're always talking about it, and it's just there.
Yeah.
So
you're always working.
Yeah, always working.
And your guys' company name is
Pop Culture Sculptures.
Ooh, they practiced
that.
that pretty good.
Actually, we didn't at all. Individually, we practiced, but not like we say it like it's like a jazz.
Usually, I mess it up. I think it's a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. It's really fun to type out too. I always spell sculptures wrong.
Always.
Even though I know how to spell it, myself, I'm like my fingers just don't.
I'm like spatula. No, that's not the word.
And autocorrect is really mean with it too.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
So what's really kind of funny? We've accidentally typed out our own name before, and we'll throw ourselves under the bus. We put like an extra O and pop. And it's like poop culture sculpture. I'm like no.
Different.
I'm sure we have people in this town that probably already call us that anyways, but that's another story for another day.
How did you guys come up with that name?
I had to take a balloon certification test that I got myself interested in, and part of being in that, you had to do kind of some fake, like, little business phone calls and business cards and all that kind of jazz. And I'm like, well, I can't just be Astro, which is my clown name, and I don't want to just be Peyton, balloon guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, what's a cool name? And we kind of like naming things, so we looked it up online, and it really wasn't a thing that had been used. So Pop Culture Sculptures, and I like the alliteration, and we like pop culture stuff, and there it was.
How did you, Darren, like, join this crazy balloon world?
I've just kind of been around it the whole time anyways, but it was like, when we took on our own little shop in Westport on the Kansas side, we had something happened where I was like, I have to step up to the plate a little more. And I was like, you know, it was just time. I wanted to be a business owner forever. My dad owns his own business and stuff. So I just kind of always fit into that role. And I just thought it was like necessary to join on to and jump onto the bandwagon on that one.
You always kind of said like, well, I wanted to run my own business. So I will book you into gigs as the balloon artist at parties. And then before we knew it, we were booking more and more just, event decor, which is really where you specialize in. I still go out and do twisty parties, and you're learning to twist now, too, even. You've got a couple of events with me.
Still not my
part. But it's still so interesting, because I've known you guys for a couple of years, but really since you've all moved here, like, your business has just exploded.
We accredit that to you guys a lot, too. You guys are always marketing and
networking. It's fantastic.
It's always like we're meeting somebody new or somebody that we should.
Yeah, it really is very, like, very, very amazing because instead of being somewhere where we weren't really being seen or weren't having the capabilities of networking and making new friends. And it's like, as soon as we came in here, it just started like blossoming. And it's like, really, for the like couple years we've been here, I'm really kind of surprised where we're at now. Mm-hmm. And it's just going, it's like just, it's
Thank
getting
you,
crazier.
Missed Missouri. That's all I'm going to say. Because that's why you guys, I think, came down originally, right? And you kind of felt the energy of the building.
I've done a couple of shows here, like before, used like as rehearsal space, like with Alex Espy, like many years back, kind of thing. And like, I know I'd done like something with like Beth Bird, and I think the clowns came through, and I forget what the name of that specific show
was.
Well,
and it was.
And were you part of Circus Week as well?
I think that's probably what that was.
I think I have an autographed picture of you and like, someone else.
It's me and Dennis Porter, probably the Cirque du Gay. It's probably what it was. Cirque du Gay, we did a lot of years, and I think that we did an act for that,
Well, and it was my, we were running into some issues where we weren't feeling like we were, where we were supposed to be, and we were like, why aren't we being recognized, and like, how are we going to network and keep, like, blossoming over the city, you know? And it was, Corey and Kevin, who runs St. Customs that we knew, had a space here, and we were like, let's just go see what this is about and just see.
I remember you guys showing us that little, like, I mean, if this works, that's all we got. And we're like, sure.
Yep, we'll take it.
And we... now, even that space up there now, where we're at, like, we could, there'd be no way we could handle the jobs that we do from our home. Like, there's just no way we
It's actually really funny because the last big job we did was for a corporate client, and I the picture showed up this year, and I was like, oh my god, how did we do that
in that room? Because that room's like the size of the room we're in, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you
We're literally double the size, because we were what?
And you could use more room, too.
We were, Well, and that's the thing, too. You guys kind of like, we have that little bit of extra hallway space out there where we can
it's
do some things.
Awesome.
And just like, we've grown, you guys
this,
have grown with us.
This place,
awesome.
You guys, is what other balloon artists dream to have. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's what other one?
The ones who don't want storefront, the ones who just want a warehouse studio space. Yeah. This is
storefronts are good. Do you need a storefront, or do you think?
You know, we used to really want that. Like, if we ever did that, it would be way down the road if the clientele so drove us, I guess. Not, but like, if we had more and more weddings or brides really wanting, not that you guys have consultation spaces, don't get me wrong. I guess more like a floral shoppy type of atmosphere where there's just
more
samples.
Never come in and get a bottle.
Yeah, just come in and get something and then just, you know.
But honestly, I don't ever see it going in that direction because of people ordering things from Amazon. Like, storefronts are having a big issue
right
now.
We see those going in and out. We're like, you know, and even our first space was that, and we didn't treat it as such. We treated it like it's a by appointment. There's, you know, a few different ways to do balloon companies, and you're either mostly a twister and you work out of home, you're a decorator who either, you know, has a slash retail space and a decorator, or you decorate and do it for them. So,
how and easy is it for if I want a balloon this weekend to call you? Like,
easy.
In theory,
In theory, like, pretty easy, like, depending on what it is. We do, we don't like, I mean, like, we like and don't like that people know we can do things last minute. Because we can do it, but we can't have 10 people all last minute on a Saturday, because then it's just not a thing. You know, and especially whenever, with decor jobs, we can spread ourselves a little bit wider, because we're like, okay, well, you know, we can come in anytime after 5. How late are you going to be up? We can do it overnight. We can come in at 5 in the morning. We can set this up pretty much whenever. It's whenever it's twisting people, you know, it's like, well, I want a birthday party this Saturday. Oh, well, this Saturday's been booked up for like 3 or 4 months. Like,
you'd be surprised how many people are still calling for this Saturday. And we're like, it's physically. It's not just us. We can reach out to other entertainers in the city. Literally everyone is booked.
There's only 52 Saturdays in a year, and of course, as event people, you also, I mean, it's like, there's only so many days you can plan stuff that not every other...
That's what I was going to say. I go, when someone calls us to rent the Arts Asylum, and they're like, well, I need a Saturday, and I'm like, or they're like, I need a Saturday in May, and I'm like, there are only 4.
Right.
Like, there are only 4 options for you to come in here on a Saturday.
Right.
Like, they make it sound like there's like 50 of those in a month, and it's like, well, there's only 4, and that's the ones everybody else wants too.
Right. And I love when they're like, oh, well, I'll just come in on like Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm like, well, no, the event that's here on Saturday is also in this space at that time.
Yeah.
It's so fun. You know, you guys have definitely been a part of our conversation. You know, we often, because I do want to talk about the Pride event that we all just did together. But since the very beginning, you know, you sort of, it's just so simple. Like, you can put a balloon up in our lobby, and then there it is, and people yep. talk about it. And I feel like, I don't know if we've really done an event, really, since you guys moved in, that we haven't tried to utilize you.
Yeah. Oh, and we love that
we haven't elbowed our way. I'm like, hey, we could go ahead and just do this while we're
Well, and there's a lot of times where I was like, we're just going to put this here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But like, you know, in January of January of 18, whenever we did Hedvig, like, you guys
I was getting ready to say that. The one that we still had the most fun play was like, when we made that freaking Hedvig wig front, it was random as cookies. Some people may or may not have got it.
But yeah, I see so many people.
Yeah,
or we had like your wall. I loved the I guess it was a photo booth from your wedding that looked like when you stood in it, that it was like infinity balloons.
Yeah,
it was like the frame, and then you got behind, and then there was the wall behind you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great too.
I think it's always
so
cute.
You guys did get married here.
Yes. Oh, and we also just
committed here.
Yes.
So did
you. But we also just did fake wedding photos yesterday.
Yeah, we just did some fake wedding photos. So we have the real wedding photos from here, and now we have some fake. Oh, yeah.
Don't you love when you get those phone calls and they're like, hi, someone dropped out. I'm going to need you to just step in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, sure.
Sure. Yep.
Let's do it.
So this past Tuesday, we all were part of the Ride KC Pride kickoff, like what Darren said. And that was pretty fun.
It was magical and
that
crazy.
That was pretty cool, especially because, you know, how do I say this without disclosing too much? There wasn't a lot of information about coming up to that day.
Right.
You know, because the city didn't really know if it wanted to, like, support it. Like, we just kind of all were descending on
everything that was up to that point was all sponsorships and donations, and everything they were like, oh yeah, this is really cool.
I think there
bringing
was
a bunch of balloon drag queens wearing who knows how skimpy or what, you know, let's bring those out of public
and make
that happen.
And they didn't ask for you guys to submit sketches or anything. They completely trusted you, so if that's not a, you know, thumbs up to your integrity.
Yeah. There was a...
Because there's no... sketches. I mean, we never saw it.
There was a lot of gray area, and then I think what it led up to is just luckily everyone in the group and chatting like really got a good vibe of what we were supposed to be doing, and we delivered upon that. And also, since we do raunchy and crazy, but also it's like
in the right places.
But this was a chance for us to showcase something that was a little different for us. And we really wanted to do a little bit more high fashion and, like, showcase that type of side of us instead of doing kooky and cutesy or whimsical.
Right. Because a year ago, you guys put on a Twist in Time balloon fashion show in the Arts Asylum over Memorial Day weekend. Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. By the way, Alex is doing great, everyone.
So fine,
and that was...
Oh, my gosh.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
That
was,
event. Do you know what I mean?
Insane.
Like,
it was amazing.
The costumes, the energy, your fucking, like, balloon lift thing on the side, like, just...
What was really crazy about these things that we do, even though we know balloons, and even though we're putting together on mannequins and we have these concepts, whenever we get to collaborate with everybody else, or then they, like, get on the stage or in the space, or there's just life inside of them, that's when it really feels like, oh, wow, because then that's, thank God, when we can kind of sit back and in a weird way relax and just kind of enjoy the moment and go, okay, there it all is, because otherwise it's a it's a blur.
Yeah.
And I even said that day, whenever we left with Tim and Darren, whenever this is going to go by quick today, like it's going to go by in a blink, like we're going to get there, and then it's already going to be those dresses are going to be going in the trash, basically, like it's going to go quick.
The thing my husband brought up was that he had not really... been in the backstage area with this sort of stuff. Like, he saw the show before, but really, like, the prep and getting in there. And he goes, the thing that is crazy is the sound that those balloons make when they're walking. Because it has a specific... And the smell. Because you all were walking in front of us, and it was just, like... The smell and the sound of watching six, you know, girls
it takes
or whatever,
over.
Walk around and utilize these balloons as accessories and dresses.
Well, and I think,
it was just so cool.
You say to some people, which I think was probably part of it, when we were in our pre-meetings with the Red KC folks, that, you know, we're going to do a balloon fashion show, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
And then they see it, and they get it, and they're like, holy shit,
oh,
that's amazing.
That's what we meant by
those
photos
that were taken both professionally and just us chilling around, walking around that day, are, like, I can't I mean, can't get enough of it.
Those are the types of pictures that you look back and you're like, that's history. Yes. Like, that has never happened before in this space. And especially with, like, Pride being so special to people, we were able to create very powerful moments this round. And not that we didn't powerful before, but I just think that there's something about these that just literally, and there's a video going around right now of them in front of the reflecting motion.
And isn't it absolutely crazy? And Moulton gave a great speech. Oh, if you guys not
beautiful.
Had, if our fives and tens have not had the opportunity to
learn. I want her to, like, print that up. So we had the honor, she came over to our house the night before to, like, I'm going to go ahead and just read this through to somebody, and I just wanted to go ahead and get a look and how we're going to do this fashion show, so because we're all collaborating on how to do that anyway. So we had to give her moments from our poem, which is a real poem, Hailstones and Halibuts, but the way she, like, cherry-picked, like, which ones and phrases she wanted to use as the models were coming out, a cappella style, we weren't able to do music, it would have been kind of odd.
Dorothy's Over the Rainbow Down was incredible.
Oh my god.
Like,
it made like a...
was incredible.
It made like a national anthem moment down there, and I think everybody almost wanted to, like, should I be, like, kneeling or putting my hand on my heart or something? Like, everybody almost had this, like, oh, this is magical all of a sudden.
It felt very official. It really felt like we just kick-started Pride.
Yes.
It was so incredible. And the thing that I was talking about afterward was, okay, let's just all remember that, you know, we live a fantastical life. You know, this is amazing what our reality is.
Just Tuesday lunch.
Yeah, it was just Tuesday. It was another day at the office. But not only were we all standing at an event where they have put a rainbow and said, you know, this is a safe place to drive or ride or whatever. Mm-hmm. But also we were in an area in the, you know, the heart of the city, all shapes and sizes and orientations and everything. And no one was messing with us.
No.
You guys are standing.
School groups and everything. Kids were clapping and cheering. Like, not one of the teachers was trying to, like, you know, oh, this is awkward. Like, everybody in public was like, this is amazing. I'm proud to be a Kansas City.
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
And isn't that the reason why
the cutest thing, though, is one of these, like, little second grade girls looks at every one of those six looks and goes, that's the only good one.
I was like,
we need to get her.
It's hard to not feel like we always get to be proud, just universally. We have weird lives where this is normal Tuesday.
You never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And so it's very weird because I think we were saying this, like, forget what we look like when we're walking through Union Station to other people. Like, this is just normal.
Oh,
commonplace.
Well, the sisters are cracking
the sister.
Glamorama was like, oh, I just scared the shit out of that one.
But then Glamorama is also talking about how her role in life is to be a clown. And if, you know, if you're making fun of me, that's fine. If you're, like, learning something or if I'm giving you courage, you know, listening to Andy Chambers just talk about what
his speeches about that stuff is so empowering.
Well, I think, like, while he was walking, then there was, like, a moment where he and Shibata were holding hands. And so, like, then that, like, through, like, there were a lot of groups who were like, what's happening here? Because there's a, you know, a young one, too. And she's in a veil also. And so, you know, I hadn't really, outside of specific sister things, I hadn't really sistered with Glamma and Shibata together. We've done things, but it's been very, like, contained within the sister environment as opposed
not
to, like,
just
out
in public.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Women's March was pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think she had a really good time.
Oh my god, she was all of it.
And what a learning experience. Like, I mean,
but
she'll
isn't
never
that
forget
reality
that.
No, I pulled her out of school for it. Yeah.
Her and little Sam Goodman both were like, oh, we feel like we are VIP. Well, they were VIPs there, and, like, we helped
Sam
put this together.
Came up with the whole idea. A little girl that was just you know, hanging out with their dad one night. It's like, Dad, we should do this. And, like, she, like, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Like, like, that means that everyone has the ability and has a say if they really
and
want.
Then it's also fun, like, the emerging that took place, because also, and this is, all of our theater and arts people know what I'm about to say, but, like, you spend a lot of time backstage before you go on a show. Like, you have to think about that. We were down there at 10 a.m., getting people in one at a time, fitting them for a reveal that took place at, like, noon.
Yeah.
Do you know? And so you're so used to being in back hallways and walking through and doing stuff that I think that's whenever I brought up to you, Courtney, I was like, it's just, like, just normal. I'm used to standing in a back hallway, yep, in right, a bathroom, yep, waiting to go on because right, it's not time to go out
to
yet.
Yeah, right. We're so, that's what I was telling him. What's crazy is we do balloons all the time and we treat every client's event very special. It's, you get immune to it and we see it online from our other peers, you know. We see good work, we see where it's like, oh, that could have been done better, but it was still great. That may have been their budget, so on. Even in the theater and all that, you know, we see like, oh, that was pretty good, or this was amazing, so on and stuff. We get immune to it all the time. So when you actually find yourself in one of those moments like, oh, wow, this is why I love this, and holy cow, even I'm finding myself feeling like one of these other bystanders right now, this is a cool moment.
That was a true community event. No one got paid to do that event. Not all of your models, all of the art sign stuff, do you know what I mean? Like,
KC people, too. Like, I don't think that anything, I think this was truly just, like, community pride.
Together.
And there was not one single, like, counter-protest or, and you know, there was no negativity. It was just love everywhere. Just,
and
like,
the weather held out for us.
We were even setting up the arch in the morning because we got there at 9, actually like 8:45, because we had to
dress to shove it in our car.
Get all of that.
Get in there.
So yeah, we had to get the arch set up out there. And even while we're doing that, people like, what's going on? What's the event today? Like, they see the tent and the arch going like, what's, oh, we're, they're doing a rainbow event. And even, you know, business guys that you could tell were total, like, oh, that's really cool. That's really
fun. I loved the streetcar people getting off and being like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
And then
let's,
they would stand and
around,
talk. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden they're applauding or they go on with their life. But, like, no one was mean.
Yeah.
And that just,
not a single
that,
just,
that is so refreshing
one.
From time to time.
Yep.
So, I hope that
we freaked security out a little bit. But besides that,
That's another part that Courtney and I talk about a lot too, that we don't ask permission. You just do it because I've gotta get it done.
Yeah. If I don't get it done, I'm gonna get more hell than this person's gonna give me right now.
Well, and when you work in the business that we work in, like, this sounds incredibly cocky and terrible, but like, I'm like, what's gonna happen if I move this light? You're gonna call a company to come and deal with that light. Let me just tell you that I am
that company.
I know you don't know that because I'm just person number 12,
but I am.
But I am. That's the, you know, like,
that's my job.
Just work in those.
That's
venues.
My job, and that's my role in this world, is to move this cone and park over there instead of this balloon I'm trying to
because we all work so close knit together. It would happen the same way. I was like, well, I know who that is, too.
Right.
Look how ironically it was. Also, another event that we just so happened to all co-work on together was the Nelson Adkins Art Golf Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Here's A to Z Theatrical and Art Asylum.
And here we are
and
again.
Pop Culture Sculptures all there. Oh, we're all doing an event together.
I forget. And to your point, Peyton, of saying, like, that you sort of take those things for granted. Like, that was just a Tuesday.
That was a Tuesday.
That was another Tuesday as well.
Like, Matt and I were just talking about, you know, I gotta get ready, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. Like, someone was talking to me, and they were like, oh, I didn't get a ticket to that. And I was like, I was invited by 4 different groups.
Right.
You know, to be there.
This was a thing today.
Like, I was supposed to be at this mini golf, kickoff. But you look around, and you're our tenant. You know, you're also our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to talk about what I'm going to see you do tonight.
Mm-hmm. We're in business together. We do business
like we're in business.
Together?
Like, there's whenever you sort of find that community, and it's not just in theater or the arts, but I'm assuming this is what other people do. You know, when you find, I feel like I'm trying to correlate like the word of mouth. Like, I've never gone online to look for a plumber. Someone has recommended a plumber to me. If someone is needing a balloon thing, I have that. I know exactly who to ask.
We built a community, and I feel like the Art Slam is a huge part of that with its theater groups and then all of its different artists. Because, I mean, like, look how I seen Ron McGee on your couch here just a while, and it's like, with the way everybody works together and we all have to collaborate these things, it's like, well, we know who we work best with, and we know that if we have to pull off the impossible, these are the other people that I need to go into this with, because one of us is going to know how to figure this out.
But because of, and you guys are talented as fuck, so let me say that, but because of your balloon event, Twist in Time, last year, Jeff Church called me because he saw my online photo that I did and said, can you get me in contact with them?
Right.
Which, you guys are talented as fuck, but I'm pretty sure that's maybe why you got asked to do this.
Because of being an artist, because of doing all that, now we got to work with the code.
And then you are your own business,
right.
So you have your own rapport, but just because you did that in our theater, I posted this photo of me standing in a balloon balloon thing on
balloon
stage.
Balloon airship thing.
Yeah, yeah, and now, and then Jeff Church of the Coterie is calling me to say, how do I get in contact with those two people? And I'm just like, that's...
And then we meet someone else that has another wacky, crazy idea of a wall moving to reveal a thing, and it needs to last for a
Coterie
month.
Oh, Coterie Club was one of the really fun
ones. That was really cool.
Just knowing that...
Yeah,
like I said, the theater community, that's where we really have
hundreds
been trying to get into.
Saw our balloons every day.
Well, and that's what's special about pop culture and the theater community, because Astro, like, Peyton and Astro actually started more in the theater realm and
making balloon pops,
and we
and
somehow combined it, and that's why we're relevant in our own balloon community, and that's why we've hosted worldwide events and stuff like that, is because they didn't know what that was until we submitted some rinky-dinky videos from bartenders.
Right.
It's not just birthday parties and weddings. You can create, like, really magical theater.
Right.
Take yourself out of the moment.
And we're just, we continue to grow with it, and we get smarter and faster and harder every single time.
Yeah,
like,
I love that. So if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Peyton and Darren with Pop Culture Sculptures for their second time on the couch in our year. So to transition tonight, I am one of the judges for the Drag Race Survivor that takes place at Hamburger Mary's. Last year, you, Darren, participated in season 2, correct?
Yep. Kissy Lee, the Bloom Queen, graced the stage.
And what was that experience like for you?
It was fantastic. Hey, I did not trip. I did not trip one time. It was actually very, very fun. I knew with, like, going into Drag Survivor, I wanted that competition so bad because, and I had to work to get into it because I wasn't first selection.
Sure.
And someone had to drop out, and then I was offered a last minute spot, and I took it, and that was like 2 weeks before it started.
Oh, wow.
So I had a lot of catching up to do. But the experience was great because I knew that there were certain things on, basically themes and stuff that I wanted to do, and I knew that doing my balloons and fine-tuning it into those categories would show off who we were within that community that we hadn't tackled yet.
Right.
And I was like, this is
and
what's going to help us.
And that's a community that already knows you, and so to be able to showcase stuff that beyond what we already know.
And with there being at Hamburger Mary's, not a lot of the new queens knew us. Like, we still were not familiar with ballooning with them, so we were like, let's go in there and really show who we are. And in fact, because of what we did there, and Grace... that stage for Survivor on my season and the guest shows in the first season and kept going with it, we were able to pull every one of those models for this.
Oh yeah, that's how we knew we could get
we got clout. And then I was like, you guys were bootlegging my outfits and like thinking that this was so easy. Like these costumes are so intricate and hard to make, and I was like, we put a lot of extra things into them, and I was like, I want you guys to wear them, because they're like, why wasn't I out there? And I was like, because I wanted you guys to wear them.
Right.
I was like, it wasn't about me this time.
You were the designer.
I was a designer.
Speaking of not me, about you, we were talking about the new season of Drag Survivor.
Yeah, but
which
I'm
Astro
kidding.
In it.
He's already starting his promo. So,
I'm already starting my
how
promo.
How far did you go, Darren?
I made it 13 weeks.
You made 13
yes,
weeks.
Yes, but I still got 8th place. So, but there was like 15 contestants, and there was a lot of twists and turns and craziness. But
18 to truly begin with.
Yeah, it was a really crazy experience, but I wouldn't have traded it for anything. And it was what helped me polish. And I think that, hint hint, so I should be put onto All Stars.
Oh, yeah.
And
Darren's also starting his campaign.
And I think that if I get to go back, I will be smarter this next round and know exactly what I need to do to portray and get the job done correctly the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on that, tonight I get to judge Peyton, also known as Astro, who is an official contestant this year. Are you excited?
I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm really excited, but this sounds really like we were just talking about immune in a weird way. Like, this week has already been so crazy, and I performed with some of these performers now going on for 10 years, and I'm like, I'm really trying to trick myself into just like, it's just another show. I'm just going to go out there and have a good time and do what I do, what I've been doing for so long.
Yeah.
Like, the, me being, like, you know, stressed, like, some people are talking, I was like, I can't do that. I just have to, it's going to be fun. I'm just going to go out and have fun tonight.
It's just the second time this year that I sort of can or can't talk to you. You know, this is Miss Game Missouri with, like, Genoa. I was like, I can kind of talk to you.
Well, and it's been weird having things shipped, because we have everything shipped here because we know it's safe.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, crap. Like, we
but I am,
nuclear packaging.
And everyone knows this, and I am an advocate for this. I am not a cheater. Like,
it's not fun anymore than any way. Yeah.
Like, I just... I just cannot wait to go in there with fresh eyes, not talking to anyone. And
you want to be just as shocked and surprised as everybody else anyways, right?
Because
that's the whole point.
I don't get that opportunity. I mean, no offense, but I know most of these people who are going to be performing. And so it's not like, often with like Miss Game Missouri or whatever, there's people I didn't know. So like when they walked out there, I had no preconceived notions. Especially our current Miss Game Missouri. I had, you know, Vega, like, I didn't know where the hell she came from.
Right.
And
she
took it.
Yep, she did good.
Which shows that the scores do not lie. It is insane.
As the tabulator, I will say that is accurate.
Yeah. Right.
The scores do not lie.
And, I mean, it is just so interesting. So I almost wish that people who sometimes get a little huffy about that could literally go and, like, read and watch what we have to do sometimes as judges, you know, and to realize that if 12 points separate the first and second place, well, 12 points amongst four judges or five judges is nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
it's finesse.
When there's the 150 points in a category for one judge, and it's like, and you got 12 points difference out of five, I mean, that's minuscule.
Divided over two nights.
Right. And the other thing is that people don't realize that if you are truly judging in the moment, you have no recollection of what because it's happening so fast. You know what I mean? When you have 16 competitors or whatever, you're judging in that moment. I remember going out on, you know, smoke breaks or whatever during MGMA and having you tell me who's in the in your top, and I'm like, that's not who's in your top, because I just put in your scores, and that's not right. Because you know what I mean?
I wasn't winning in different ways, and I'm
I know exactly what you mean, because even though it wasn't Missouri, I helped do the little pairs of the plane, you know, or with the thing, and got it in. It's very tricky because it's so quick, and you're trying to process so much in your head.
And you can't go back and change previous scores. That's the thing, is if you're the first one, you are setting the standard for all
the rest of the
for
scores.
All of them. And then the first one has to, it's just a blind guess on what it's going to be. And the last one, you're trying to put through your head all 16 people really quickly to be like,
were they better or worse than all 15 others that I've already seen?
Yeah, and so those two, I almost, and I'm not even sure, it's potential, I don't know the algorithm, but it's almost like the first and last score should almost be, like, dropped off somehow, because there's just this weird, I know that I judge differently the first one than I do the last one.
There's just no way you can't.
We learned
about that many. When that's like four or five, it's one thing, but when it's that many, and people you've never met before, Drive Survive will be different. You know, what is there, 11 of us, I think?
Yeah.
You know
I know nine of you.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. There's two of you that I don't really...
Who don't you know? Who don't you know?
It's one of the guys. It's one of your other guys.
Oh, either Scooby or Logan Ryder.
I know
Ryder.
Scooby.
Okay,
so
Logan Ryder from Sidekicks.
Yeah, I don't think I know him. And then there was a girl... I can look them up, you know, here in a second. But I was like, so I'm also going to meet two people whom
you've never met before.
I've never met.
Or seen perform or any of those
but
things.
But yet yesterday, I was with three of you. At this, or Tuesday at this balloon event. I was with you, I was with Luna, and I was with...
Driana.
And I'm just like, And in my head, I'm trying not to like...
Well, technically Bernadette was there too.
Bernadette was there too. So I'm trying in my head to not judge you all outside of the competition.
Because it is... It
well,
has
in
to
a
be...
weird way, because it's...
Because
it's...
you might piss me off as a tenant, but I, you know, but right. I, but that can't walk into in a, Hamburger Mary's.
In a weird way, right, in a weird way, I actually look at it as... Whenever I know somebody that I was like, you almost judge them more harshly because you're like, well, I know you could have done better than that because I've seen
you
done that before.
And that's what Luna has talked about. Luna literally is like, you actually know a lot about me. Mm-hmm. You've directed me on stage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I know what her work ethic is. Like, I know everything.
Right.
So.
And so you're going to know, like, I know you could have done it better
right.
than this.
Right. Kind of. I will say I'm really excited to see. Each season has had different panel and judges. And I actually have high hopes for this season's judges because I feel like.
Is it me, Genoa, and Mulan?
Yes. I feel like it's a very good.
Here's what Artie, me, and some of the other contestants are talking about. And we know this is why this was picked this way, is because it's like, well, Mulan. Obviously going to be the one judging our outfits.
Right.
You've got Genoa, who's the one basically judging, like, brand kind of, sort of. Like,
sure.
Where's your brand?
What's your,
like,
shtick?
What's your shtick and your drag?
And this
right.
performance.
And you,
is
your performance and the theater ask of it, and, like, are you in character? And
I think you guys
right.
should, I think we're going to find good winners.
Oh, absolutely. We're all looking very much forward to it, because you're like, oh, that's, like, I mean,
it's
that, is that really good trifecta
it's
of what you need.
It's a good group of contestants, too.
Right. Yeah, I finally saw that list.
Right.
I was like,
okay, you guys have some stellar talent in there. It's going to be really awesome.
Crazy.
You're going to have, like, a meeting, though, because last season, I was able to be like, and what are we doing this week? Every single week. But we're going to have that somewhere else now that
yeah.
he can't know. So I could be like, what are we doing this week,
yeah,
guys? Because
I
got the, like, 411 every time. That I was
yeah.
like,
and
what's
I
this week's theme? What's this?
Yeah.
And I had to talk about a portion of that to say, well, I hope, and I know it's real, but I hope that if by some chance you get voted off, you come in the next day, and that does not affect
that's what's going to be
so cool is that I've had to ensure to myself that I was like, I trust that if I'm like, Peyton, you suck, you know,
right.
you're not going to be like, well, I hate you forever.
Right. Well, here's what truly I think we all know of those of us going into this season. The reason they picked all of us contestants as the group and you guys did. We are all professionals enough. Hell, some of them have even been judges themselves, Triana and Priscilla. We all know this art form, and I guess what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We would judge ourselves the same way, or we should. We're all
right.
the ones to come off stage and be like, oh, I really
yeah.
messed that
yeah.
part
and
up.
Widow
that's exactly
Widow's
what we're going to be talking
really
for.
Highly about, Widow is the host
yeah.
of it, Ray Fry, if you nasty. and we are in a judge's thread, you know, just to distribute some information.
Same as all of us little contestants who
yeah.
have one with him, so we can give you the lowdown on the newest update. When we get one of those urgent drag updates, we're like, oh my god, what are they gonna want stuff? What is he telling us?
I tell you what, it's like PTSD to me. So
oh my god,
because
hear
I hear it and I'm like, ah!
What now? So the judges group.
Yeah, so but just simply, you know, Widow was talking about how seasoned and amazing all of you guys are, so the integrity and the quality is going to just be that
yeah.
much better. Because there's none
right.
of you that are standing up there who are not
right.
comfortable on stage.
Well,
and individually, sort of your own brands. Already.
Yes, that's what
exactly.
I was just going to bring up. It's like, all these characters this time are well-established. They've been around for a while. A lot of the last two seasons, it was new people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you could see them grow, or you could see someone fall apart halfway
right.
through on
mm-hmm.
accident.
Anything
tired,
this season
so.
That anybody is going to be supposedly getting butthurt about is going to be something you've already been hearing from 10 years from these same
right.
11 other people
mm-hmm.
anyways,
yeah.
practically. Like,
yeah.
And you kind of, and if you haven't reserved your ticket or standing room only, like, it ain't easy, friends, to get, and I'm not
it's
sure
not
when
out.
My friends and family are ever going to get to
no,
come.
I know. That's
set
I've got
out.
Friends and family that are like, I think we've got some yeah. reservations,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Right.
So I want to, I have two hopes out of this, you know, as Corey. One is I'm hoping I can just be like, so how about get a table in there that I can just bring people in every week because people want to come and be in the room with me and they don't spend money. So
right.
how do I get that? And second, I'm hoping to get the person who, like, gets kicked off or whatever. Hopefully I can have them come on the show and interview
yeah.
sort of
oh.
the person who get on
oh,
the couch
yeah.
who gets taken off or whatever, and we can sort of talk about it in that sort of way,
yeah.
and that gives us sort of like an 11-week
mm-hmm.
guest list
right.
you
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Of some sort. So I have to talk to them kind of about it tonight. Or see, is there an elimination tonight? See,
No. So we've heard, well, I don't know this officially. What I've heard from like 5 other contestants who are very good friends with Widow is that like, I guess these first 2 weeks are combining the scores, and then they'll eliminate next week based off of both
of
these combined. Not just
their
next week's score.
But do I see all 11 of you tonight?
Yes, everyone is there tonight.
And that's 9 to 11?
That's true. Yep. And before that,
it's
there's...
It's really tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's bingo for the sisters before.
Yeah.
So.
Do they clear the entire bar? And then
they do the best they can. It's a very hard turnover for those. yeah. the server.
Can you still get food and drinks until 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are just questions for our listeners or whatever.
And actually, they have switched things over in my season to where if you brought enough friends and they are spending money, they have a chance to buy these, like, get Save a Ho tickets and stuff. And
if you buy appetizers, if you buy an appetizer or a drink, I think you get, like, one ticket. If you buy, an entree or something, you get two tickets. Yeah. And then at the end, whoever's in the bottom three, the audience one gets a chance to get saved by, if you want to spend money in the restaurant, practically, like buying tokens.
I made the joke after I got back from Miskan, Missouri, that I never wanted to step foot in another Hamburger Mary's again. After the St. Louis one.
And look where you're going to be.
And literally 2 days later, I got a bing from Ray that had me, Genoa, and Mulan in it, and it said, so hi, and I was like, oh, God.
Damn. But it's going to be so much fun. We love seeing you here, and then we get to see you there, too. So I'm okay with that.
Isn't that so goofy, though? Like, I never go out, and literally for the next 13 weeks, I'm a part. So does the show end, like, promptly at 11? Everyone gets the hell out?
No.
Of course, I'm very, very tired Friday mornings.
No, and it does get heightened drama. It is very reality TV.
It can sometimes be that way. Widow tries to stir the pot as much as possible.
I can't wait to see what the hell tonight is going to be like. Like, I almost wish I was on the radio tomorrow, so I'd be like, ugh.
You're gonna have your queens that you would never think be completely catty turn into something that you didn't think was going to happen. There was butting heads in my season. Season one had a lot more butting heads from what I've heard. In my season, I didn't really hear about much of it until everyone started doing meaty texts. But
everybody has that one or two people that are like, I don't care if I win or not. I just want to do better than that person. It's kind of what the thing is. And I think that's even especially more this season. But in a friendliest possible way, I feel. I've always, after all the shows, it's always been like a little brother.
A tic-tac-toe in my office, like an apprentice thing. You know, no, fuck apprentice. I'm not. But Survivor. How about Survivor? Because that's maybe what it's based on. And I want to have this image of me, like, crossing out a face.
Yes.
Like,
every week. Do you know what we did with Kissy Lisa? Well, we did this even with season one when we went just as, you know, patrons and supporters. We, like, it's like fantasy football. It's really like...
It's so strategic.
Oh,
so
these are the themes that are left. And even though this person could be doing good, she ain't going to be good at that theme or someone and so forth. So it's really like you have your, like, little fantasy football thing going on at home where we had... And then especially when Kissy was in it, we had that going on like, okay, well, we have to at least be better than these five and these are the other five that may be here and so on. So, of course, that's what we're already doing with me. And I feel like that's what a lot of people, that's why they're so into this thing.
Yeah, strategy.
Because you have several friends that you like, and so you're like, okay, they have to beat this person because they're kind of the same as them. They kind of have the same aesthetic. So if we can have this person be the one... It's a whole 3D chess craziness.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
And this season, this is what's crazy. The fact that this season they're doing it where it's like the ones who get first place send and eliminate and send somebody home. Ugh, that's where, because she's like, oh, that's how we create the drama this season.
There's going to be
drama. I think that's a good point because now that we're talking about that.
I can't believe the first not really in time. Oh, God.
No. If there is any drama, it will be because of that. Sure. That is what's going to start hurting people's feelings.
I mean, and Priscilla, if you're listening, we are so sorry we didn't get to invite you to this last fashion show. You'll be the first one in the next one. If I'm in the bottom, Priscilla will probably be like, fuck that Astro, he didn't invite me to come to his fashion show. Right, right. Bye.
So as we start to wrap up already, which is crazy, we both have just a new sort of question that we want to ask.
Okay.
But I have a question that I've been told to ask the Balloon Boys. Oh. And it's actually not that big of a deal. It has to do with how are you guys handling and discussing like the helium shortage takes place.
That's a good one.
Someone was like,
I mean, we are already giving ourselves away from helium. And here's the thing. Actually, on the way over here today, we already seen some damn foil balloons for graduations caught in a power line somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it really is like balloons are starting to be banned in certain areas of the world because they're thinking they're like plastic straws. Mm-hmm. They are not, as long as they aren't being released into the air like litter,
right?
Like with helium. So if helium were in a way banned and made not from balloons anymore, it really wouldn't bother me in the least. We would work around it completely.
Also, we were about a 95% air-based company anyways. We use hardly...
Because they don't need to float. They just need to...
No, and we know how to make mechanics to make it look like it's in there, or rigging and stuff like that. Like, we... There's always some place to hook something. You know?
So how do you discuss the waste of your art form? Because after it's...
Yeah.
After the event is done and you pop them all, does it all just go in the trash? Is there a specific recycling area?
But that is the thing. It does all go in the trash, but just like yard waste or something, just like leaves that you bag up in a plastic bag, they literally biodegrade at the same rate as an oak leaf. I'm sure you guys have seen our balloon scraps in the back parking lot back here, and we actually did an experiment after we did those balloon flamingos, and we accidentally popped a bunch of balloons in the gravel.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, like three months later, they all just kind of disappeared.
As you guys are in the building, those are two of the questions, specifically the balloon waste. Because whenever we give a tour and I open up your studio and they see your wall of balloons, they're just, and one person once was just like, all of that ends up in a landfill, right? And I'm like, there's no way that those two boys would be on such a destructive thing.
No. And here's the thing, if you really think about it, when we create these grand displays and stuff, it looks like there's a lot, but when we pop
there's
nothing. Like, it's like a handful.
It's like a handful of balloons. So, and actually, I mean, obviously...
I remember that after the fashion show that took place here.
What other, like, I mean, this, not to dog on how A to Z theatrical can do something.
Yeah.
What other ways are there to do, like, I need an 8-foot-tall giant ice cream cone.
Right.
It would be styrofoam. What's worse on the environment? Yeah. Styrofoam or popping a bunch of latex balloons that are going to biodegrade in three months'
time?
But
I also talk about how useful art and theater is as well.
In general,
like,
it is.
Like, I buy
true.
Things
yeah.
from this set in there that will get thrown away because... Mm-hmm. It's just done.
I just
think that there's other things that are around that are way more wasteful. Like, I do support, like, bands on, like, styrofoam for the most part and stuff like
that. Yeah, the straw thing I'm totally for. I'm using natural. Yeah, I am already making a point to do less and less things like that.
Yeah.
With our cat litter and things, I'm trying to, like, I hate buying tiny cats, but, like, So, in a weird way, though, in all of those other things that all of us do as everyday Americans, balloons truly are, if you're just using latex balloons and recycling the props like we do and not, you know, it really is a very non-waste thing. And then, literally, like I said, you've seen them go away in 3 or 4
And thank you for explaining that.
And
like I said, there's a lot of people that are
If you guys want to truly help with making sure things don't end in a landfill or, like, in trees or, like, hurting an animal... If you have a friend that is mentioning, like, oh, I'm going to get a bouquet, make sure it is weighted. Make sure that you pay for that extra weight or get whatever you need to do
and
it.
Do
and
not
do not
release
it. If they are acting like that, you guys do not do balloon releases.
No.
Not at
so,
all.
So, you know, like, if you go to, like, you know...
Cancer Walk.
Let's say you go to, like, the smoke shop, and you're like, oh, I'm going to buy a bong for my marijuana. They're like, I can't sell you that thing now, really, because it's a water pipe. Or, like, if you go to the pet store, you can't be like, I'm going to buy this hamster to feed to my dog. They're like, well, I can't sell you the thing now.
We're the same way.
We are the same way. Like, oh, I'm going to do a balloon. Well, you literally just shot your... I'm not going to sell you balloons now. I'm not doing your thing.
I don't care who you are.
We did our last one about, what, a year ago? 2 years ago?
It was right before Twist in Time. We did one, and then we learned about...
Like, you know what? We don't even like this. And then the thing is, too, there's...
It's not very creative.
It's wasting a natural resource, helium, which is used for MRIs in the medical field and also used to make all of our little flat screen phones and TVs. So balloon releases and wasting an environment. We really are trying. We always sound like kind of like assholes now when we're out and about. But we're almost becoming as strong-minded as like what PETA is. We have to. Right. Well, because people are attacking our... Like, oh, well, balloon, right, because we'll try to post something cool like these dresses, and then you get these trolls online who are like, all the landfill, and it's like, it literally could fit in the palm of my hands or so once I inspired a great 3 or 4 months later.
You could do, like, an informative video that you have on your Facebook that talks about,
up PEBA, P-E-B-A,
is it that?
Yeah, it's that, you're thinking of PETA.
I thought it was started with a B, but I got it backwards.
Yeah, and his name's Phileas Splash, and he is one of the trendsetters in our community, and he has done all of the testing. He has videos. Like, there's so much. He composts.
Right. We have people. Well, you know how there's, like, weather watchers all over the world because everything can be different? So, with humidities and altitudes, we have people all over the world who are in the balloon community throwing balloons out and taking videos. Like, here is it after 1 month. Here it is after 2 months. Oh, and look. There. It's disappeared. It's almost dying now. Right.
Balloons are not a plastic bottle.
Here's another really cool thing too. So when you have to cut down lumber, you literally have to plant a whole other tree. Whenever it's latex, you can literally tap a tree for like 10 years, and then it's still, after you're done tapping it, the tree's not even dead. Right. You're just done tapping the tree. Mm-hmm. So it actually it's a very renewable resource.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and that is one of the main reasons why I love having you guys both as our tenants and on the couch. Is so because you're a direct source to me asking those questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, you know, and I'm gonna just, like, this is just like me getting on a weird high horse, but I'm just gonna, like, throw out there that it's another way that people can use art against us is like, well, it's, I'm gonna complain to all these balloon artists because they're the thing, but I mean, like, you. The amount of latex gloves that are gone through in a hospital is obscene. And it's obscene.
Well, I have a diabetic cat who gets 2 needles a day. I mean, I'm like, it's one cat. And think of, like, okay, so, but my little handful of balloons, as long as they're not landing in the ocean. And I mean, I always remember this, like, I'm an advocate for recycling and doing all these things and making as little waste as possible. As a consumer, we really can't do much about it. It's like, I shop at places that use less styrofoam, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't like to get Sonic cups. I'd rather get something else. You know? So that's where it really starts. And that's why we as a company have said no helium, and we pretty much don't do Mylar. And even when we have done helium, it was like pulling back little by little. Like, well, we don't do helium bouquets outside because even though they're weighted, they might come loose. And then it was like just like pulling back a little bit. And now we're like, well, now we're not even going to do them inside because now people have, we've heard that now. Like, oh yeah, the balloons at the baby shower are so great, the grandkids went out and released them at the end. And so we were like, so we're just not, it's not an option if we don't offer it. We're going to keep some helium even though there's a shortage. Because for artistic reasons, for a fashion show, or let's say it is like that big A to Z theatrical build that we want, we need an accent of helium, and we are in control of the strike down of this thing, and we can dispose of it properly, and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And that's exactly what it is now. Like, we literally grayed out and scratched out all the helium options last week on our price guides. It's not a thing anymore.
That's just not a thing. Well, I mean, that's our time. Yeah, that's true. I love that you guys were on the show again. Thank you for, like, doing the Pride event on Tuesday.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
And, you know, instead of saying, like, break a heel or break a leg, I'm just going to be like, pop a balloon, boo. Like, have a good time.
It's actually really funny because we've been on twice, and it's like, what are we going to be talking about? What wild thing are we going to be talking about next time?
But you live a fantastical life.
Season 3, episode 1. We'll find out.
Give us your website if people want to get a hold of you.
PopCultureSculptures.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at PopCultureSculptures.
And come out to Hamburger Mary's if you can get a spot on Drag Race Survivor. Drag Survivor.
You are Dez, you should probably get that right.
Ooh, shade already.
I know who will be on the couch next week.
Looks like we're already here again.
You're judging, but I will be in the
Tune in next week where we will have a new guest. And this was this week's Couch Chats. Okay. Thank you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.